T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hour numero dos of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is wonderful to be with you once again. I am Rob Brown, T2, the Timinator, filling in for the great one, Lonzo, today. So happy to have you all along for the ride. It is a busy sports day. We have had a lot going on so far. Talked a little bit about Roger Goodell in the last segment. Also talked a lot about fat guys, me, and T2.
You're not fat.
I'm just big boned.
That's right.
T2 told me something during the break. If you don't listen, now you do. On Saturday nights from 7 to 9 on our sister station, WORD, is a little show called the Upstate Pulse, hosted by the great one, Lonzo. It is the best description I've been able to come up with so far. It is a nerd pop culture show.
Yeah.
All right?
And
best I can give it. And they do some interesting stuff on that show. T2 told me that last Saturday,
which you can find, you can actually look it up on the stream.
Yep.
Or on Facebook.
Go to the Fan Upstate, go to the Upstate Pulse's Facebook page.
That's right.
T2 told me that this past Saturday, they tried ranch-flavored ice cream.
It was gross. The sound of ranch-flavored ice cream now just makes me gag.
Lonzo last week brought this up and asked me if I'd be willing to eat it. And my answer was, much like with everything else, if it gives me content, sure. Just for funsies at the house, no. Now.
Yeah, I don't think I would have done that at home, no.
Rob Brown has waxed his leg hair live on the air before.
What?
Is there
video of this?
There is.
It's
from Bet for the Cycle, which is our Saturday baseball gambling show, which, by the way, I can now officially tell you guys, will not only return for this year's Major League Baseball season, will not only return for this year's Major League Baseball season with its original cast of yours truly, Rob Brown, Cody Decker, former MLB player turned unprofessional professional athlete, and everybody's favorite hating ass Mario. But I can also tell you that not only will Bet for the Cycle return every Saturday during MLB season with the original cast and crew of Rob Brown, Cody Decker, and Hayton Ass Mario, but I have been informed as of a phone call yesterday that this year it will run all the way through the World Series. Last year they took us off the air, 2 weeks before the playoffs began, to flip to a football format. This year, I have been told by the bigwigs at the BetQL network that Bet for the Cycle will run all the way through the World Series this year. You are welcome, America. Your Saturdays just got better. Anyway, on that show, myself, Cody Decker, and Hayton Ass Mario, every week, made a personal bet against each other, right? I bet so-and-so will get a total of 3.5 bags. I bet so-and-so pitcher will go, you know, over 6 1/3 innings pitched or whatever. And instead of betting money, we bet punishments. For instance, Hayton Ass Mario had to put on the makeup of The Crow, you know, the Dylan Lee movie, and go eat at Indianapolis's nicest steakhouse, dressed as The Crow. I had to eat a heaping spoonful of Vegemite out of a jar. And let me tell you, ladies
Vegemite.
And gentlemen, if you've never had Vegemite.
Sounds like a bug killer.
Dude, I'm not entirely sure. It's not a person killer. All right. Vegemite tastes what I imagine. If you could take pure, unbridled, uncontaminated hatred and condense it into a jelly, that's Vegemite. It was awful. Cody Decker, who has the body hair of a small woodland creature, had to get two strips of hair waxed off of his chest on the air. We put each other through hell for your entertainment. I am down to clown if it gives us content that makes y'all like us.
Same
all right?
here.
Now, I told Zoe I would try it on the air for the sake of content, but there's no point in my life at all ever that I would just eat ranch-flavored ice cream. All right? Lonzo said, will you eat ranch? Right, on other things. I don't just take a spoon to a bowl full of Hidden Valley. All right? It's not my bag. That's gross. T2, 10 words or less, ranch ice cream description.
I mean, I could do it in one. Disgusting. It was.
Did it just taste like ranch?
Yeah. It tastes like cold vanilla ranch. Like that vanilla sweet with that ranch, it's making me gag right now. Ew. One of the worst things I've ever put in my mouth. Like just disgusting.
I got negative interest. Right. I've got
dude
negative interest.
Don't try this at home, kids. Like for real. Like
I've
it was bad.
Less than negative interest. I don't understand. All right. Listen, you know, I said earlier.
I mean, ice cream and ranch should not be uttered in the same sentence, much less be in the same box.
Let me say this. I told you guys earlier, piece of advice that I got from both Mr. Rogers and a therapist at one point in my life.
Mr. Rogers.
If you wouldn't talk, like if one of your friends came to you and had a problem that you're having in your life, and you wouldn't call them a pathetic fat slob, why would you say it to yourself, right? Which makes perfect sense. I'm going to go ahead and say this. If there's any point of you that enjoys ranch-flavored ice cream, you need to hate yourself more.
Yeah.
All right? Not less. You need to hate yourself more. Just no.
Well, I mean, like I wouldn't say that, like, I mean, because everybody's entitled to their own way they like to eat things. I mean, that's fine. But ew, like, I just don't understand you at this point.
Listen, there's an exception to every rule. Okay? There's an exception to every rule.
Yeah.
Rob Brown, for instance. Rob Brown watches something to the tune of 6 to 8 hours of professional wrestling a week. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the right to judge what anybody else wants to watch on TV. The fiance right now is really big into 1,000-pound sisters. Now, that show makes me go, huh, no. Not because they're large, just why is this a show? Right? I'm not like, I don't judge these women for being what they are, but like, I'm not entertained by it. She, on the other hand, loves it. Obsessed with it.
Yeah. Kia's in the Married at First Sight right now.
I watch 4 to 6 hours of professional wrestling minimum a week. I'm in no position to judge, right?
Right.
I say all
the
time.
I watch a whole bunch of anime.
with the exception of, like, Nazis, be whatever you want to be. I have friends from all over the political spectrum. I have friends from all over the gender spectrum. I have friends from all over the sexuality spectrum. I'm all on board for you to be who you want to be, and I will still absolutely be friends with you, except furries. I just don't get it, all right? It's just a bridge
too far.
Furries,
man.
It's just a bridge too far.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
they pee in
I'm from Southeast Louisiana, all right? The things that I not only have eaten but continue to eat as delicacies will make some of you hurl. I get it, all right? I don't judge what people eat or what they like to eat. I don't. I never have. I never will. Eat what you want to eat. Except ranch-flavored ice cream. Screw you if you enjoy that. There's something wrong with you. All right? You need help. You need a therapist.
When you said that, I immediately thought of a video of I saw a woman literally eating tarantulas, live tarantulas.
Nope.
Like, it was crazy. So I don't know about that last statement, man.
All right. Let me get a couple of texts. Texter says, T2 is the man. All right. Love
Thank
it.
Thank you.
I agree. Texter says, stick some buffalo wings in the ranch ice cream and you're good to go. No, I will just stick it in regular ranch like a person. All right?
Yeah.
And I'm not dipping my perfectly good hot wings into cold ice cream.
No, yeah. That makes zero sense.
Texter says, I watched a female drink an entire bottle of Hidden Valley and then proceed to projectile long-range white vomit into the bushes. Nasty. Go Gamecocks.
Okay, nice but let's. I want to make this kind of clear because it's ice cream and Hidden Valley Ranch. It's not. I'll tell you what it tastes like. It tastes like your kid just spilled ranch over your vanilla ice cream and you ate it anyway.
No, that's
worse. What it tastes like.
No, that's worse. I'm out. Texas says, "Hey, buddy, are you calling the Burns games this year?" That's the goal. That's the goal. I believe that I am. We have not officially worked it out yet, but they told me they want me back, and I want to be back. So, fingers crossed, yeah, I'll be calling some more football this year. All right, let's get some sports in here, ladies and gentlemen. I want to start with this. This was a story that came down the pipe last week, and I wanted to get to it, but went out on vacation before I got a chance to. The NFL announced early last week that Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Calvin Ridley has been fully reinstated 1 year after he was indefinitely suspended for violating the league's gambling policy. Immediately eligible to participate in all team activities, the wideout took some time to address the past before beginning his new chapter, according to Callie Lawson Freeman, writing on behalf of Yahoo Sports. Ridley said in an open letter via the Players Tribune, quote, "I bleeped up. I'm not here to sugarcoat anything. In 2021, I made the worst mistake of my life by gambling on football," end quote. There were obviously plenty of scrutiny. There were jokes from fans. Roger Goodell issued a condemning statement of that decision. And Calvin Ridley says he takes full responsibility for what he did. He understands why it was wrong. He understands why he couldn't do it. And he never fought back against that suspension because of that. The letter that Ridley wrote detailed his experience playing the full 2020 season for the Falcons on an injured foot. He says that an MRI showed he had a bone bruise, which convinced him to continue taking Toradol shots from a team doctor, despite his suspicions that the injury was more severe. He would finish that season with 1,300 yards and 9 touchdowns. However, the Falcons finished the season 4-12. They went with a complete overhaul, new staff, new head coach, new trainers. Ridley said the new trainer sent him to a specialist who quickly diagnosed him with a broken foot. After that, he had surgery 2 months before the 2021 season and felt pressure to begin to take painkillers to complete workouts. He wrote that he often went home in pain, attempting to be there for his family. He pushed himself to play week 1, and when he came home, he saw that their house had been robbed. A prosecutor later announced Ridley was amongst a group of celebrities in Atlanta whose homes were targeted by a local gang. He said that he and his wife were traumatized. His wife couldn't sleep at night. He said he also felt, quote, the weight of the world on his chest, end quote. It turned out to be anxiety. It turned out to be clinically diagnosed anxiety. According to the letter, Ridley was not wholly supported by the Falcons, and that's why he felt the need to step away. He spent time speaking with a therapist while he was away. He has multiple letters he wrote between him and his therapist where he described himself as isolated and overwhelmed. And in the letter, He said, quote, "In a dark moment, I made a stupid mistake. I wasn't trying to cheat the game. I was still just so depressed and angry, and the days were long, so I was looking for anything to take my mind off of things and make the day go by faster. One day, I saw a TV commercial for a betting app, and for whatever reason, I downloaded it on my phone. I deposited like $1,500 total, literally just something to do. I was going to bet like $200 on some NBA games that night, but then I just added a bunch more games to a parlay. I put the Falcons in on it. I was just doing it to root on my boys, basically. I didn't have any inside information. I wasn't even talking to anybody on the team at the time. I was totally off the grid," end quote. You know what I appreciate about Calvin Ridley here? Calvin Ridley has just come out and said, look, I made a mistake. I broke the rules. I blew it. I know what I did was wrong. Even though I did not do it with any malintent, I recognize now that what I did was against the rules and was wrong. I take the responsibility for that. He mentions that he was dealing with at least one mental illness at the time, as well as the fact that a football team pushed him, according to his side of the story, but a football team pushed him to play through an injury that needed more serious treatment than they were willing to give it or even find out if it was required, until a new training staff came in and said, oh, dude, you got to get this fixed. You have to take care of this surgically, right? And he decided to walk in that team. I appreciate Calvin Ridley making an apology. I appreciate Calvin Ridley taking responsibility. I appreciate Calvin Ridley putting his head down and going, I screwed the pooch here, and I paid the price, and now I want to get back and make good on it. This is it, man. Ain't nobody perfect. Everybody's going to make mistakes. It happens to everybody. What do we tell our kids when we're raising them? You're going to make a mistake. You're going to make a bad decision. You're going to make stupid decisions. The only thing that you can and should do when you make a stupid decision is own it, accept the consequences, and do better next time. Calvin Ridley just did that. And I got the utmost respect for this guy. Took his suspension, rolled with it, came back, acknowledged what he did was wrong, put out there that he was fighting with mental illness so that nobody feels like that is going to be left out, but also doesn't use it as a reason. I love it. Good on Calvin Ridley. Cannot wait to see him and TL16 get on the same page this year. Let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute from right this second, Carolina Panthers pulled the trigger on moving up to number one. They could have gotten a quarterback moving up to number four, and the assumption would be that they would have got a quarterback at a better value, even if it was a more project-oriented quarterback. So what made the Carolina Panthers decide to jump all the way up to number one and cost themselves DJ Moore in the process? We got some insight into that from Scott Fitterer yesterday. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Rob Brown Show continues. This is the Fan Upstate. I am Rob, T2, the Timinator, filling in for Lonzo today.
What up?
844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663. I would like to have a conversation here about the NBA, and I am going to straight up tell you, because Rob Brown is an open book, that there's part of it's that make me a wee bit uncomfortable. But I find it very interesting nonetheless. The NBA's MVP award is at a fever pitch in terms of discussion, right? It is an award that is chosen annually by a panel of media members. It has been that way since the 80-81 season. No race has been decided by fewer than 39 first place votes since Steve Nash edged out Shaquille O'Neal in the 04-05 season. Shaquille O'Neal never let that one go. In fact, he still talks about it to this day. However, even with that being the tightest race, I think this year is going to change that. I think this year is going to be a very close vote. The discussion right now is out of control. A couple of former players turned ESPN analysts got into it about a week and a half ago when Kendrick Perkins and J.J. Redick decided to take their debate very public. Now, granted, they do it because that's their job. But they had a very lively debate about whether or not Nikola Jokic is stat padding. Jokic is averaging 25, 12, and 10 a game. 25 points, 12 boards, 10 assists per game. It went back and forth. Jokic, in the middle of that discussion, had another game where he went triple-double on 11 shots in 28 minutes of a blowout win. The Nuggets are 24-0 when Nikola Jokic has a triple-double. That's an insane number. Now, Perkins is an MVP voting panel member. He joined last season. He voted for Joel Embiid, and he is making the case that Joel Embiid should be that dude once again. But here is the interesting part of this discussion. Larry Bird got into this discussion. Now, Larry Bird got into this discussion in 2004. There was an ESPN special that featured himself, Magic Johnson, and rookies LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony. So two old guard, two new guard members at the time of the NBA. Larry Bird said, "The majority of the fans are white America, and if you just had a couple of white guys in there, you might get them a little bit excited." Now that comment has been recirculating because Kendrick Perkins made the claim that race has something to do with the MVP award. That when MVP voters see a white dude in the mix for the NBA MVP, they inherently flock to him as they did with Steve Nash back in that 04-05 season. J.J. Redick fired back, said, "Yo, hold up, wait a minute. The panel is very diverse. It is not a panel that would lean one way or the other." Right? And the question mark became, is Nikola Jokic getting the nod, as a lot of us suspect he will, though it is not a guarantee? If Nikola Jokic wins this award, he would become, if I recall correctly, just the fourth guy in history to win three consecutive MVP awards. The others were Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, and the aforementioned Larry Bird. Bird did it the most recently back in 84, 85, and 86. Now, there have been some MVP award years that have felt indisputable. There was no one else that could have won it. In 2016, it was Steph Curry. There was no doubt. In 2013, it was LeBron James. No doubt. He was not unanimous, but he was overwhelming. And Giannis Antetokounmpo's first MVP in 2019, there was nobody else that could have done it at that point. Now, there are two arguments to this that I find interesting. The first is the concept that nobody likes Nikola Jokic because his game isn't exactly the most exciting in the world, right? He's not a dude that gives you a lot of flash, not a guy that gives you a lot of razzle-dazzle. It's pretty much head down, get to the rack, knock down a big three every now and then to remind you you got to give some space there, and dish a few assists from the five spot when defenses collapse on him. It ain't the most razzle-dazzle game of all time. But Nikola Jokic averages a triple-double. Do you understand what we would be talking about if Ja Morant averaged a triple-double? If Kevin Durant averaged a triple-double? If Giannis Antetokounmpo averaged a triple-double? We would be waiting to put the crown on them as soon as LeBron leaves the throne. Nikola Jokic is doing it, but he's doing it in a way that frankly is, unless you're a big Nuggets guy or you're a fan of old school big man basketball, is frankly kind of boring. Now, I was a big man. I love big man basketball. Give it to the dude in the paint. Let him go to work. Either attacking the rack or collapsing defenses and dissing back to the outside of the guys who can make things work with the basketball. Nikola Jokic's last two MVPs, I would love anybody to dispute the validity, right? I would love anybody to tell me why it is that Nikola Jokic didn't deserve them. This year, you can make the argument last year that Joel Embiid led the league in scoring as a big man. But scoring is one element of the game. Nikola Jokic is an excellent rim protector. He is an excellent passer of the basketball from the inside. He can score from anywhere on the floor. Nikola Jokic is the most well-rounded basketball player, especially at the five spot, that we've seen in a very long time. But there is absolutely a discussion going on, absolutely a question going on about whether or not Nikola Jokic gets his mix because he's a slow white guy. And because voters love to see, in a league where white guys are the minority, love to see that succeed. Love to see a white guy get the props in the league. I would like to think the answer is no, right? I would like to think the answer is no. I would like to think that there's not a situation where people are voting for Nikolai just because he's white. I don't know what else to tell you other than Nikola Jokic is the best player on a Nuggets team that is currently sitting first in the West, 3.5 games clear of the Grizzlies, who in fairness have been without Ja Morant for what, 5 games now? 4 games now? He is the best player on that team. He is averaging a triple-double. The Nuggets are 30-6 at home. They are 518-18 on the road. I would like to think that Nikola Jokic isn't getting the overwhelming majority. I cannot tell you for a fact that there aren't a couple of voters that are or are not giving their votes to Nikola Jokic because, hey, the white guy's doing it in the black guy's league, right? I would like to think that Nikola Jokic is a dude that is averaging a triple-double, that has taken a team, if we are being honest with each other, that doesn't really have the depth of talent that a lot of other teams do. I got some good players. Jamal Murray's a very good player. Caldwell Pope has some great games. Michael Porter Jr. is going to pop up on the top 10 every now and then. But I've got to imagine that Nikola Jokic is getting the attention he's gotten not because of being a white guy. I've got to assume it's because the dude's putting up triple-doubles as an average, man. Like, as an average. Can we not talk about the fact that that is insane? The Nuggets are 48-24. The 76ers are 48-23. All right. Over in the West, the 76ers would currently be sitting at, well, frankly, tied with the Nuggets for first. All right. Actually, I think they'd be a half game up for first. The East is better this year. The Bucks behind Giannis are very good. The Celtics behind the dynamic duo are very good. The Sixers are good. Hell, the Cavaliers are 45-28. The Knicks are 8 games above 500. The East is good. The West isn't bad. You got 3 teams with 40 wins or more. Then there's a pretty hefty drop-off. And then from the Suns at 4th all the way down to the Pelicans in 12th, you've got a difference in 4 games total, right? So it's a bigger quagmire, but the elite teams are predominantly over in the East. So the Sixers get a little credit there. But if I took Joel Embiid off of the 76ers, and I took Nikola Jokic off of the Denver Nuggets, because it is the most valuable player award, right? The individual player who makes his team better. If I took both those guys off their squads, where do the Nuggets go? Where do the Sixers go? I frankly think the Nuggets go tumbling down the list, right? Like the Nuggets are a play-in spot competitor. If I took Joel Embiid off the Sixers are probably still the 8th seed in the East, maybe the 7. I could be wrong. Perhaps there is an overwhelming, a surprising number of voters voting for Joel Embiid because he's a white guy. But I'd like to think that Joel Embiid is getting MVP votes for the 3rd year in a row because Nikola Jokic is getting MVP votes and is, in my opinion, is the most important player on his team, you know, the most valuable player, and that's why he's getting the votes. Again, I could be wrong, but I've got no reason to think so. I would say that this argument holds water if Nikola Jokic was a guy doing 9-8-7, right? 10-7-5, but still was leading the MVP race. Then I'd go, okay, maybe there's something to that. But the numbers he's putting up are incredible. Texas said Russ Westbrook had 4 seasons averaging a triple-double. He has 1 MVP. Right. But again, go back and look. Has there been a point in Russ's career where Russ was the guy? Was there a point in Russ's career that Russ, if you removed Russ from the lineup, the team went tumbling down? I don't think so. I do think for a lot of players, if the MVP matters to you, for a lot of players, fighting their way or finding themselves on super teams kind of damages you, right? Like Anthony Davis on a lot of teams, if he's healthy, is the best player in that city. But when he gets paired with LeBron, the argument loses a lot of water. Who's the guy in Denver right now that if I take Nikola Jokic away, we can trust picks up the slack? Jamal Murray? I love Jamal Murray. When the guy's on, he's a great player. But can Jamal do it without Nikolai? No. Can Nikolai do it without Jamal? Yes. Has, will, and continues to. I don't think Nikola Jokic is getting votes because he's a white guy. I think Nikola Jokic is getting votes because the dude averages a triple-double. As a 5, by the way, let's not forget with the Westbrook conversation, Russell Westbrook's a shooting guard. Shooting's in his title. Nikola Jokic is a 5. The last guy to go a season averaging, the last handful of guys to go an average of a triple-double over a season, they're all guards and a couple of power forwards. There's no big men that do that and carry the weight of the team on their back. That's Nikola Jokic. Thoughts, agreements, disagreements, hit me up, 844-FAN-PHONE, 844-326-3663. Text us on the Preferred Home Services text line, 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, and we'll read them on the air. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Wrapping up the second hour of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate, ladies and gentlemen. Real quick note, as we are now, a week and some change away from Major League Baseball's opening day. For those of you that are Atlanta Braves fan, a bit of surprising news yesterday as Vaughn Grissom and Rook Braden Shumick have been optioned to AAA Gwinnett, which leaves, as of right now, the likely replacement for Dansby Swanson at shortstop to be Orlando Arcia. Swanson was let go by the Braves because, I think, of the contract he wanted. Dansby's a very good player, but Dew was looking for a deal north of $170. And he got it. 7-year deal, $177 million with the Chicago Cubs. That was an amount the Braves were not willing to invest in a guy who went on some cold streaks over the past couple of years, despite the success that Dansby had and the goodwill he had built with the Braves fandom. It was thought that Vaughn Grissom was going to be the starting shortstop on open day. Grissom had a very good spring. His last day, the Braves won 6-5 over the Rays. Grissom went 3-for-4 in the game with an RBI and a run scored. And in 12 spring games, was batting .371. Very good spring for Vaughn Grissom. Had some solid defensive efforts as well. But it looks like Orlando Arcia is going to be the guy. The reason that is interesting, last year, Orlando Arcia played a grand total of one game at shortstop for the Braves. He made 43 starts at second base in 67 overall games, batted .244, and has not been a primary shortstop since he started 59 games in the pandemic 2020 season for the Brewers, who then traded him to the Braves the following April. Vaughn Grissom is 22 years old. Made his big league debut last season, hit .291 with 5 dingers and 18 ribbies in 41 for the Braves, started 39 games at second, and just one at shortstop as well. Arcia and Grissom were needed at second base last season because of the fact that Ozzy Albies missed much of the season with a broken foot and then a broken finger. This move is frankly a bit surprising to me. I'm a little bit taken aback by it because I think, and frankly, I think Braves fans thought that Vaughn Grissom was going to be the shortstop. Now, we did get a little bit of news from Peter Gammons that last week Braves coaches were concerned Vaughn Grissom had an issue in the hernia area. We do know there was a point in time where Grissom sat out 5 consecutive days, 5 consecutive games. We never really got an answer why. And this might be it. This might be it. I don't know if this is the primary reason that Grissom got sent down, but it certainly looks like it could be, right? Certainly looks like it could be. Go down to AAA. Get some rehab. You don't have to travel that much. You don't have to spend that much time on the road. You can really start to dig into that rehab because replacing Dansby Swanson's numbers when Dansby's was on the heaters he went on is going to be critical if the Braves are going to get back. We told you a couple of weeks ago that the NL over-under totals had the Braves and the Mets within a game of each other. Now, we did find out that Edwin Diaz, the outstanding closer and one of the biggest and most important strengths of this Mets team, is going to miss the season. In a celebration in a World Baseball Classic victory a couple of days ago, Diaz blew out his knee and has to have season-ending surgery before the game even starts. That is going to ding up the Mets' win total a little bit. That is also going to, I think, pending further injury, likely make the Braves the favorite to win the NL East. But at the same time, Vaughn Grissom dealing with a potential hernia issue being sent to Gwinnett did not stop him to play all nine innings yesterday. He was the only player on either team to play all nine innings yesterday. So I kind of, like, on one hand, it's weird. I kind of want to believe it is a hernia issue because I kind of want to believe that that's the only justified reason that Vaughn Grissom would be optioned out and sent to AAA. But I'm having a hard time believing that's the case when he played nine yesterday. Like, I can't believe he played nine with a jacked up hernia. And by the way, Brian Snicker was asked and told that it was not an injury thing, that they just wanted to, during that 5-day stretch, get a look at some of the other options at shortstop to make the decision in case they had to adjust the lineups a little bit. But I don't know, man. I don't know. Now, here's the good news. Good news is Alex Anthopoulos has been the GM of the decade for Atlanta. He manufactured the World Series victory a couple of years ago. He made some moves last year that got the Braves very, very close before they eventually lost to your Philadelphia Phillies, who would go on to represent the National League in the World Series. So he's got a little bit of leeway, got a bit of a grace period, but I got zero idea, no idea why it is that this move got made. Coming up in the next hour of the radio broadcast, did Nick Saban just throw some shade at his own school's basketball coach? Remember Nate Oates made a comment a couple of days that had everybody up in a tizzy? Nick Saban said something yesterday in a presser that got some eyebrows raised. We're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes from right now. Also coming up in the next hour of the show, why did the Panthers pull the trigger on jumping all the way to number one when there were quarterbacks they liked available at 2, 3, and 4? Scott Fitterer gave us an insight into that answer. I'll tell you what it was when we come back. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.